Whether you're a Class 5 rafter or just looking for a couple of laughs, these two have you covered. Welcome to Aaron and Zach's Better Than Mediocre Rafting Show.
Well, it's another Friday, so that means Aaron and Zach's Mediocre Rafting Show. This is where two mediocre boaters offer mediocre commentary on videos or whatever we want to talk about. Today, Aaron is sick, so he's on mute because all he's doing is coughing. I'm not even sure he can talk yet, but he's just there to wave, and he's gonna be in the comments, writing comments, which is where he'd rather be anyway. Like the whole show, he looks at the comments anyway. Now he can just focus on the comments, which is great. He might pipe in and talk if I give him too much of a hard of a time, but he may not. This is also a podcast. You can listen to this as a podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or even somewhere else. The only caveat is this isn't meant to be a podcast. If you're listening to the audio, that's a mistake. You probably should stop listening to it. It's usually terrible. This week will be particularly terrible because unless Dougie or Steve magically show up, it's just going to be me, and that's going to be awful. So if you're listening to the podcast, cool, great. I'm glad you are. Thank you. But you should probably watch this in video form to get – yeah, that's funny. I just looked at the comment. No, I'm not. I'm glad – I can just say whatever I want to without Aaron commenting, but I really do enjoy talking to Aaron. And this show started – it started with Boatsmith actually 3 years ago. You know, we were watching a video. We were talking about a video we saw on the phone, and I was like, we should review this and then make that content. And that was actually what started the Aaron and Zach Mediocre Show, which led to the live show. So it's really came from Boatsmith. And so I enjoy talking to Aaron. Me talking the whole time is super awkward. But at least Aaron's here to like give me funny looks. So it's not as awkward. Oh, yeah, Aaron, there's a comment for you. Are you even in it? What are you doing? Yeah, Aaron got a rug permit. Yeah, he's so proud of himself. So a couple things. This is entertainment, not education. If you want education, just Google rafting education, rafting class, rafting trips, rafting trip classes. Well, this is just us having a conversation. We often play devil's advocate. And so, you know, if I see run into you on the river somewhere and I'm running spinnies, you know, don't be like, I thought you hated spinnies. They're okay. I don't mind them. Sometimes I just like, we take weird sides on things just to create conversation, like you probably all would with your friends. And finally, this is also a part of Whitewater Guidebook. I'm still doing the intro. Sorry, this intro has taken so long. And so if you want to leave a comment or ask us a question, go to whitewaterguidebook.com. You'll see a tab that says Gear Garage, and there's options for you there. Okay, with that, I want to start with a trivia question this week. And this is a picture I found. And if you can give me the most detail about this photo, whether that's the state, the river, if you can name a person in it, if you can name the rapids, whoever can share the most detail about what's going on here will win a prize. And the prizes are this Moravia dry bag that I've been trying to give away for a while. It's brand new. It's really nice. It has cool graphics. So that's an option. We still have more Rivers of Oregon books by Tim Palmer. I just feel like this is a book people should have if you live in Oregon. It's iconic, as well as Rivers of California. That's another option. So if you get the trivia question right, you can have one of those three things. Just leave it in the comments below. Here is an answer. And there is another answer. Aaron, nod your head if you know where this is. Okay, yeah. So far there are answers. I'm not going to – none of them have all the details correct. So, by the way, I'm going to have myself a liquid death today. I'm really kind of into these, Aaron. Oh, man. This is lime flavored today. Lime flavored liquid death. So I would say Heidi and Sean are tied. And then Redwood Creek, Blue Pomo, I wasn't there. That was other friends of mine that did it, but I did it like 15 years ago and it came up to 6,000 CFS on it. And it was really scary. So I wasn't on that trip. That was my friend Jan's trip. So far, you're all guessing the same thing. That's Oregon Hole Gorge on the Middle Fork of the Smith. I will, just to help this contest go along, it is the Smith. It is not Oregon Hole. But so far, you're all like, you all are tied for the closest answer to what's happening here. And again, the theme is carnage today. And we really started this whole show talking about carnage on the Smith. I feel like the week after the Boatsmith, we should talk about carnage. So that's what we're doing today. There's usually tons of video of carnage at Boatsmith, but this year there's only really one video. And I think while we wait for better answers, what do you think about going to that, Aaron? Let's watch some video from the Smith. So let me share the screen here. And let's get to some of the video we're going to watch. Really quick, with Whitewater Guidebook, there's a tab here under Gear Garage. Ask questions or add a comment. If you ask them through this link, it helps us keep track of them better. So we'd really appreciate that. So we're going to get to that. Here we go. Oh, man, I just deleted it. Well, let's watch this video first, and I'll come back and find the video. So this is not the Smith. This is on Instagram. This is on the topic of carnage. Aaron, are you even watching? Did you give up on the show, Aaron? So this is, I think, Aaron, did you just put something in your phone to say words? You like typed in your phone to say words and had a playback? So you need a little sign you can hold, like write on something and then put it up, Aaron, so we can see you. But I think if I was in the, look at this rope causing problems. Now this guy's got, oh man, these tanglements. So this is on, this was a problem. And then, oops. And then the rope made it worse. And I'm going to tell a story. This is actually super awkward by myself. So I'm going to do my best to do a good job. I was boating last week and a cap boater I was with went into a hole and there were some people on shore next to the hole and he was side surfing, doing fine, just side surfing. And they all went to grab their bags and start to throw them. And I was yelling, don't throw the bag, don't throw the bag, because he didn't know it was coming and he would have just been tangled up in ropes. And from where the people were, they were going to pull him laterally, but that wouldn't have pulled him out of a hole. There wasn't like a plan. It was just, I think their thinking was, somebody's having an issue, let me get them a rope. Where I feel like we should be, if we throw a rope, we should have a plan for what that rope's going to do. And the person receiving it needs to know it's coming, and they should probably want it. Like if the person that capo looked up and said, yeah, throw the rope at a minimum, or at least like didn't shake their head and say, I don't want the rope, that would have been good. In this example too, like, nobody asked for this rope and somebody just saw, you know, somebody in the water getting trashed and they think to throw a rope, which ropes can cause a lot of problems. All right. That's that video. Yep. Let's move on to this video. This is a flip. On the Grand Canyon and Serpentine. This looks terrifying. Somebody has their GoPro on a stick. I think that's what's happening. And they were able to keep it so they could, they're to keep it out of the water so people could see what happened. Yeah, it's probably really hard to swim with a stick in your hand. Yeah, they were definitely smiling going into it and on the way over. Yep, loose PFD. I would bet, and I wish Aaron could talk, maybe he can comment, that people that ride or motorboats in the Grand Canyon probably don't think they're going to swim. They probably don't see that as a – it probably doesn't happen very often, so they probably don't think it's a reality. So this is where you may not wear the certain clothes or – Aaron, when you're posting comments, there's a little all next to it. Switch to just YouTube or Facebook. I guess – never mind. Stay with all. That's fine. You're putting comments to both. That's smart. Oh, that, Aaron, that was you that said loose PFD. That PFD doesn't look bad. The one that guy's wearing doesn't look that bad. Do you think that one's loose? While we finish watching this, I'm going to pull up the other video from Boatsmith that I deleted. So that was that one. Here, hold on. Let's do it. This is from Boatsmith. So they're doing a good job high siding. Big time flip. I think that this was in on the South Fork, if I remember right. A pretty unpleasant swim. But I think, oops, let's watch it again. Here's the first, Aaron, if you remember, the very first show we did, I think was Boatsmith, where those people flipped. I'm going to pause it right here. They flipped in a rapid. They didn't self-rescue. They couldn't get back on their boat. They just held the line, and they went down the next rapid where they could have swam to shore, or if there was tight boat spacing, boats near them could have helped out. I think that's what happened here too. I talked to some people about something in Boatsmith that happened where you'll notice that it goes over and now they're just grabbing that perimeter line. And I heard this where I would think maybe grab it. I don't know if it was low water. So I worry about smashing between the rock. I think you and I debate that a lot, but I would worry about, I think this is the group that like they held on through the flat water and then went, they swam the next rapid holding onto the perimeter line. And I think this is one of my worries about perimeter lines sometimes is people use them as a crutch instead of being active in their own self-rescue. So, and Aaron, this is Aaron's comment. Yeah, class, if you're running class 4 or 5, you should be able to climb on a raft. So, Aaron, would you think that every single person who runs the South Fork Gorge should have the physical fitness to climb on a raft? Or at least the guide. I can't tell your sign language. Oh, look at the comments. At least the guide and ideally a few people. Yeah. Yep. So I think it's okay. Like if some of the people who aren't able to climb on the raft, grab the perimeter line, but the guide needs to have the ability to, if you're in class 4 or 5, especially like South Fork Gorge or Oregon Hall Gorge, the guide has to be able to get on the boat like that. That's for a class 4 or 5 guide, that's an important thing. And then if people are holding the boat, that guide can pull somebody in on the upside down boat, and then those two people can pull more people in. They're just holding on to the side thing. I just am seeing more and more in videos, and it's kind of scary to me. So anyway, whoever shared this great video, there wasn't a whole lot of carnage video this year from Boatsmith. So there wasn't a whole lot of that to share going on. All right, we're going to take a break from videos for a sec. And Aaron, we have to give everybody an update on the show. We're not going to have a Tuesday Q&A next week. I'm going to be out of town. And we'll have a show next Friday. But after that show, it's going to be more and more difficult to do because I'm teaching classes all next month. And so For those of you who have questions, we'll do our best to get to the questions. But I thought since there's no Q&A show next week, I would get to a couple today that I liked. And I'll read this one. Hi, Zach and Aaron. Life's been a roller coaster for me lately. To make a long story short, I've sold my house, gotten a divorce, and decided to be a fishing guide in my local rivers. Ordered a boat designed by Link Jackson and built from Moravia rubber. Stream Tech, steelhead. Appreciate your input on the boat as well as business advice. Well, man, sorry to hear about the roller coaster and the bad news. I think the Stream Tech is a good fishing boat. It's an interesting boat for sure. Let me see if I can bring it up. Let's go back to here. Stream Tech Aft. It's not a boat I would use personally for whitewater, but it's a really cool boat. They're designed for fishing. I guess it wouldn't be that bad for whitewater, but they have like a really interesting rocker profile, and they have really cool frames that match them. So it's a really interesting boat, I think, for fishing, which is what you want to use it for. I've heard Aaron's asking the size. I think there's a variety of sizes. This one I just brought up was a 14.6, but I think there's smaller ones too. I've seen some that are definitely smaller than 14.6. And Moravia historically makes really great boats. I have been reading some forums lately, Mountain Bus specifically, where people have got they've received their Moravias and they've had some issues. And I think that's all I really want to say about it personally right here. You can go to Mountain Buzz and read about it and make your own decision, because I don't know officially what happened. But I feel like Aaron likes the 12-foot. I feel like there's been some quality issues on Moravia potentially. But again, I don't know for sure. I just heard some rumors on the internet. And the internet, I wouldn't believe everything. So I would be a little worried about that maybe. But otherwise, and Aaron and I don't fish. So don't ask us. I mean, we're doing our best not to answer fishing questions. We're doing our best here. Aaron, yeah, Moravia does take care of it when there's a quality issue. Yeah, they follow up. It's just like, I think people are bummed because they waited a long time for their boat. It finally came, and then they have to ship it back, and it's a whole process, and they still have a boat. So I think that can be frustrating for some people. But so we're not fishing guides. I mean, Aaron fishing guided a trip on the Selway, so I guess he's a fishing guide. Yeah, you guided two trips on the Selway, so Aaron is a fishing guide. Yeah. Do you have your fishing pole, Aaron? What kind of fishing pole do you use for your fishing trips? Can you be more specific to what it is and who us are? It happened to us. Come on, Aaron. That's awful. But I would say business advice. I mean, we could do a whole show on this, and that's a very vague question. It would be like asking me, like, how was your year? You know, I don't know anything about fishing guiding because I've never been a fishing guide. Aaron might be the best person to talk about because he's been a fishing guide twice. But I think the outfitting business is hard. It's way harder than people think. Yeah, Aaron, that's it. Like, because Aaron does this too. The best advice I have is my mentor, Dick Linford, gave me. Anybody can run a great river trip, but not anybody can sell trips. And so you don't just like start a guiding company and like people magically call you and book trips and like life is good. It's really hard to sell trips, to develop a reputation and promote yourself through whatever means you want to. It's really, really, really hard. And a lot of people try it and a lot of people fail. And I see it a lot. People come in, people that were guides, like, I'm going to own my own company. I'm going to buy it and do it. And they don't do any, they kind of try to do marketing, but they don't really want to do that. They want to be guides, not marketers. And the job is a lot of marketing, a lot of sales. It's way harder than I think people think. I spent way too much of my life learning about search engine optimization. Wish I could have that time back. We saw the Sotar Strike fly fishing raft everywhere. Oh, that's interesting. Huh. I would have expected more Moravias in Montana because it's closer to Idaho. That's for sure. Start small and build up expecting. Yeah, the first few years could be a lot of years. It's really hard because, you know, I just switched over to QuickBooks Online. It's $85 a month and a phone system, our phone system is another $85 a month. And like, there's so many things that are like $85 a month. And so if you're too small, like you don't need QuickBooks. You can use a spreadsheet, but you really, there's a certain size you need to be to cover all of these costs, the cost of your license, the cost of your insurance. So it's tricky. It's hard, man. That's all I have to say is it's really hard to do. I wish you luck. I wish you luck. For being a fishing guide, your number one goal is to get regular customers who are patching their schedule together. Yeah. I know that people who do fishing trips, I've heard this, they get a customer. Once they have a customer, they're a customer for life. It's really hard to get your first one, but once you get them, they come with you every year. And yeah, making it so that not everybody wants to go on the same week of the year, have that time spread out, I think is hard. Yeah, lots of cranky fishing guides because it's such a grind. Yeah, I don't think it's as sexy. Guiding isn't as sexy as everybody thinks. Yeah, and they're not – and the fish populations, I don't think, are on the increase. I don't think they're on the steady. I think it's harder and harder to catch fish, and there's more and more people that want to fish. Salmon fly stream tech is super fun in big water. Sweet. Oh, that's cool. Aaron's writing. Aaron, I think we're both clicking at the same time. I'm gonna. You click your own comments. I won't touch your comments, Aaron. Yeah, I think that's true. Like, it's a marketing job where you get a guide once in a while. That's a good way to think about it. Guiding isn't sexy, but the guides are sexy generally. Hey, Noel, I remember one thing you told me a long time ago was you were reading Vogue magazine. I think you were reading Vogue. I think you were reading Teen Vogue maybe. But you have to correct me if I'm wrong here. But it had a list of the sexiest jobs in the U.S. And number one was firefighter and number two was river guide. And Noel, you were both a firefighter and a river guide. So maybe you made that up. But I remember from a long time ago, maybe we'll have to find that article. Is your ultimate river red river contest still a tab in Whitewater Guidebook? It's not a tab. It's on the homepage, I think. Let's see if I can find it here for you. It was never a tab. It was, you have to scroll through all this garbage. Oops. So you have to go to ultralight chairs and then go back. Let's see. Go back a couple. There it is. Oh no, that's not it. There it is. So it's a blog that got pushed down pretty far. So you could probably, the easiest way to find things I'm finding in 2023 is Google. So I bet you, let's just see. Let's just do a test. Let's Google it. Ultimate River Runner Contest. What happens? Oh, look at that. Number one. So that's probably the easiest way to find it is Google. That's the easiest way to find a lot of things, I think. Yeah, I think next Friday might be the finals. I mean, I've lost track of it. And to remind all of our fans, the winners of the contest get a $1,000 immersion research gift certificate. This is coming up. Is this really a week from today? Aaron, this is big news. I'm pretty excited about this. John, ooh, ouch, brutal. Okay, cool. Hopefully we answered that question. Being a fishing guide, I think, is hard. But, man, we wish you the best of luck. All right, next question. I'm sorry about all the life changes. I flipped and swam a pretty high water level class 4 rapid last year and really took a beating. I held onto my boat, 12-foot cap, but I had trouble getting back on it fast. I ended up with a cracked kneecap, a broken ankle, 3 broken fingers, and a bunch of stitches. It was just big, but bony too. I really did bad reflipping. I finally did, but about a mile downstream, kind of sucked. I had down it a bunch in flat. Okay, am I reading this right? I had down it a bunch in flat water and in current. I'm not sure I can read the sentence. I had down it a bunch in flat water and in current. I've never done it in the narlol. Okay, I think I read that right. So basically, he flipped and got beat up. And my comment is you should practice your reflips. Like that's a problem. Like your reflip wasn't there. And number two, if you're not getting back in your boat, swim to shore. Like don't like going, holding onto your boat. And how far did you go down? Took a beating, held on my boat, but it had trouble. Correct. It really did bad reflipping a mile downstream. So if you're not reflipping your boat, if you're not like getting back in your boat and reflipping, you're just holding on. That's exactly what we're just talking about. You can't just hold on to your boat. You've got to self-rescue, which would mean swim to shore. Being just attached to your boat, like holding on, one of the issues with holding on to the boat is your legs are down in the water, which is actually really dangerous. It's really hard to have your feet upstream or out of the water holding onto the boat, right? We talk a lot about, I'm sure, yeah, here Aaron's commenting. I'll click that. We learn when we're swimming to either be aggressively doing self-rescue or be in a defensive position that keeps our feet out of the water. If you're just grabbing the boat, your feet are down in the water and they're potentially could have foot entrapments or doing all the things that happen to you. And so I'm going to finish this rant. As soon as if you can't get back in your boat, let go, self-rescue. And I have to ask, where were your friends? Like a mile? You went a mile? Like, were you by yourself or did you have friends? But keep feet up. Zach's right. Many times it's better to go from the raft. I had swam a bunch kayaking as a kid. I'm 55, and I'm nervous about recovery in harder water. Don't really want to practice in that water. You don't have to practice in that water. You can practice in a pool. You can practice. I don't practice in that water either. So how does a guy get responsibly in safety responsible in safety practice? Well, you could go to a lake and practice reflipping. You could take whatever our class is where we're going to make you reflip a boat. We're going to try to make you do it. We don't make everybody do it. We're going to say, hey, here's your opportunity. You should go do it. I know it's cold. And we'll do it. We'll make you do it at least once to see if you can. And it's good to know if you can do it, right? I think some people don't even know if they've never done it. They've just seen a video about it. And they just see a video about it. And they're like, oh, I can probably do that. But actually doing it is one thing. And then if you're boating hard water, which it sounds like you were, you need to do it fast. Like the standard I have is 45 seconds in a cat. So to me, anybody who wants to be boating class 4 or 5, it's a 45 second reflip back in your seat. That's my standard. It would be nice to look like your rig looks like upside down. Yeah, I think. And the thing too with the cat is I'm guessing you're holding on the outside of the tube. You need to swim between the tubes and climb up on the frame. It's really hard to get back into a raft. It's a little easier to climb up on the inside of a cat boat. Again, something to practice. So anyway, how do you get the practice for this? Go do it in a lake, a pool. I usually do it on the wind. There's this like calm section I practice my reflips on in between some rapids. It's one place I always do it. Or you could take a class. You could take an Aaron Cavagnolo Lake Tahoe Community College Guide School. I bet you would be an expert at it. I mean, I heard people gain 5 pounds of muscle in that class even. Yep. So a cat shouldn't be that hard to climb up if you're between the tubes. Yeah. It's interesting. People have perimeter lines on their cats. Nobody climbs up the outside of their cats into them. The thing you do, that habit you need to build is climb in between the cat tubes and up on the frame. It's not as hard. And you said you swam a bunch of kayaking as a kid. Yeah, when you swim out of your kayak, you don't hold on to your kayak. You get rescued. You swim to shore or your friends are there. So same thing. Like if you're not getting back in your cat, you're so active, aggressive self-rescue. Okay. Maybe first is to not run big and boating stuff. Lol. Lots of lols. But I really want to do the upper wind in Illinois and all the California class 4 stuff. Looks amazing. I was just surprised for me how hard it was to get back on. It was easy to reflip after in the rapid, I got ragdolled. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the upper wind, those are awesome rivers. They're great goals. You're 55, I'm 50. And I mean, I'm doing yoga and like either yoga or mobility training almost every day. And I'm trying to lift weights and do push-ups and pull-ups as much as I can. It's just, as we get older, it's just keeping that level of physical fitness is really hard. For me, if I want to keep boating the next 10, 15, 20 years, physical fitness is a large part of that. And that's just the reality. So I don't know how physically fit you are, but if you want to do the upper wind in Illinois and California class four stuff, when you're 27, you can just go do it. When you're 50, 55, 60, you need to be actively training. In the middle of rapids, no one is getting on the raft. Really, Aaron? I mean, come on. It depends on the rapids. In the middle of Gray's Grindstone at 1,000 CFS, you'll find a place to get on the raft. Even a 2,000, 3,000. If you flip a boat in Gray's Grindstone, you'll get in there. It's really hard. In a cat boat, you will. Like, that's the standard in a cat boat. If your cat boat flips in a rapid, like, let's say, Ram's Horn on the wind, you get back on that upside-down boat. And you either ride it out, or there's people who are so good, like, even the big rapids, they can reflip and get back into it. But it comes from a lot of practice. It's easy in a pond. It's easy in a flat stretch. But, man, I got drunk a long way before I get back on. Yeah, it's easier in flat than it is whitewater, but that in the pond, in the flat stretch, that's where you develop the muscle memory. Cause it is muscle memory. A lot of it, it's like, you need to just have that immediate, like the boat flips. I know exactly what I'm doing. If you don't practice it, the boat flips and you're just like, whoa, what just happened? Okay. Think, what do I do? And then you kind of do it. And then if you know you can get back on the boat, it's much, you just do it. If you're like, I've never done this, see what happens. It's harder. So yeah. I mean, at a minimum, practice in the flat water. I rarely practice in rapids anymore, but I used to. So he did say some. I swam a bunch. Okay, where did he say some? Maybe first. I'm not sure what that refers to. Aaron, I'm behind on stuff. Yeah, it's definitely muscle memory. So I would say there's a physical fitness component and there's a practice component. And it's my opinion, I think Aaron agrees, if you don't know you can do it based on your physical fitness and practice, maybe shouldn't be doing class four and five. And that's the same thing that came up with that Smith video. Like, if nobody get on the upside down boat, they maybe shouldn't have been there. These are like class four or five skills you have to have. It's super awesome that you like have the ability to read water and tell people to go forward and back. And your technical skills of maneuvering a boat are really high. It's super awesome that that's the case. But there's other skills you have to have beyond that, and including physical fitness, to be responsibly running these harder rivers. Need to have the skills to self-rescue. Yep. Yeah. And when I go out on the wind, it's cold and I generally try to flip my boat, and sometimes I do it and I don't make it. And then I hit the gym pretty hard. You know, I didn't make it. One time I did it a couple of years ago. I couldn't get back in. I need the help. And that was a good reminder to myself, actually. If you flip and end up on the outside of the cat, you can still get back on top in the rapid. I can, yeah. It's on my cat. Depends on the cat. So like a Food LeFou cat, maybe not. My little 11-foot with a Mad Catter frame, I can climb back up on that thing super easy. And especially at like when the cat tubes have tag lines, if you grab a tag line, pull it in, grab a frame, push up. But I think practicing helps. One thing bad that happened in as a smashed my hand between my frame and a boulder. Ow. Yeah, this is where I'm at. You should have let go. I'm not going to say you all should always let go. I think there's not an always and never. But in my opinion, if you aren't getting back in that boat, you should be aggressively self-rescuing or get away, because that boat can be a hazard, as you found out. Like, just holding on, waiting for rescue, I don't think is good practice. Do we get to this already? If you got back on and the rapid was that nasty. Yeah, so it depends on the rapid. It depends on your ability to reflip. So if you get back on and that rapid is nasty, would you even want to reflip it? I'd rather be on an upside down boat, like out of the water, just hoping things work out well, than being in the water. So I'd rather be on the boat. And then if you're practicing, you're good, you wait for that moment. A reflip, if you have your flip line on it and you wait for that moment, you have like 20 seconds of just like medium water, you reflip, and if you can get back up quick, you're there. Now, it depends on the rapid, but I've seen it done a lot. All right, Aaron. I disagree with Zach. You need to be able to reflip your raft in the pool between rapids, and you should be able to assess and get yourself out of the water normal before you get hurt. Wait, why is that disagreeing with me? I disagree with Zach. You need to be able to reflip your raft in the pool between rapids. Yeah, I agree with that. What did I say differently, Aaron? Yeah, I think what I'm saying is you want to get on the upside down boat, and like that's better than swimming. And then when you have a chance, then you reflip it. That could be in a 20-second pool. That could be like in moving currents. But even in like a rapid like ram's horn on the wind, that might be hard actually. There's probably not a spot in there to reflip. But in between ram's horn and the next rapid, you need to be able, that's like maybe 20 seconds of moving water. You should like, you come through the bottom of ram's horn, your flip line's ready, you flip it, climb up, you're rowing again. Right? That's what you're shooting for. Yeah, I don't think you have to flip back mid-rapid, but it's possible in some situations. Like, I think if I flipped in a catboat in the entrance to Gray's Grindstone, I could probably be on a reflipped cat by the bottom of Gray's Grindstone, depending on floats. Like a rapid like that. Whereas if I flipped in Mushroom, there's no way. Or what's an example? It's like a good example is if I flipped in, let's say it's like 4,000 on the Tuolumne. If I flipped in Rock Garden, as soon as Rock Garden's over, I'm going to reflip and get back on before Nemesis. Like that's a pretty common thing. Like that's a place I should be able to reflip. But I can't think of a lot of examples there's just some long continuous water where you could reflip if you had to. A Superman under it for a while, just so you don't think I stopped trying. I did get on the reflip and get back on. Just took 5 minutes. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm not saying you stop trying. I'm saying if you try and it doesn't work, I wouldn't keep trying personally, because you just get more and more tired. And then if you keep trying and you're totally exhausted, then you can't self-rescue. If you swim to that boat and you can't get on it, swim to shore, swim to another boat. Like, don't, like, the more you try, the more tired you get, the more cold you get, the more tired you get. That's awesome you got back on, but I don't want to be holding onto a boat. A third option is to stay away from your boat until the bottom of the rapid and swim back over and reflip the raft. Yeah. Yep. Swim to shore, or you can at least get some. Aaron, your audio is on. Did you mean to audio? Okay. Cool. All right. I think that's it. Oh, hey, one more. This is from Bruce. This was a comment from Bruce Celine, Aaron. He's enjoyed our debating Bedrock and it's raining. And for those of you that know Bruce Celine, he's like long time Grand Canyon boater, long time commercial guide. He owns Pro, one of the companies that it's Pro, right, Aaron? He owns Pro, right? Nod your head if I'm right. Okay. Who outfitted our Grand Canyon trip and out another. Yeah, exactly. That's Bruce Celine. So here's his rule. At 1 to 8K, you run left. That sounds, that's interesting. 8 to 18K, you run right. 18K and above, you run left. If you follow this rule and make the run, then you probably call it class 3. But if you don't, then you'll probably experience class 4 or 5 in a free geology lesson. make your choices, take your chances. Yeah, so a class three rapid with class four or five consequences is class four. I think he's agreeing with me here, Aaron. And I'm really happy you can't say anything to disagree with that. But I feel like we did it between 1 to 8K, and I think the run was still right. But, yeah, interesting. So, anyway, thanks for the comment, Bruce. Okay, so back to the show. Aaron, are you ready? Oh, hold on. I got to get this ready. Are you ready for our next video? I know you are super excited for this. Oh, you have something? Hold on. Let's get to this one. I hung onto the oars when I got washed out in lava. I probably should let go, but there was no way I was able to orient myself to climb back in mid-rapid. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to climb back in lava. That's not going to happen. If you run left in mid-grander, it's class four. Okay, so I call Meat Grinder 3+. Aaron, you're like a keyboard warrior right now. You gotta be more descriptive. No, we're both clicking it. It's not a class four rapid. I have no problem calling Meat Grinder class four. And I would say if you go right, it's class three. If it's left, it's class four. So it's not like people miss the right. If people in Meat Grinder miss the right line and accidentally went left and there are class four or five consequences, I'd probably call it four. But you don't try to go right and miss the right line. Like if you want to go right to Meat Grinder, you go right. That's the difference with Bedrock. People try to go right, but they don't make it and they end up where there's the consequences. Okay, well, yeah. Is Bedrock class four? That's the debate. Bedrock, the question is Bedrock at low water a class four? Okay. Aaron, you ready? We have some great. Oops, let me see if I can make this big. This is as big as it's going to get. Bruce is saying if you try to go left at low water, it's class three. That's a stretch. I think that's a stretch. I'm not sure. Okay. This video, what's interesting, Aaron, is if I make it big, I'm not going to see the comments. So I might switch between this size screen and this size screen just so I can check in on the comments once in a while. But this is video of a creature craft at 20,000 on the Illinois. And I thought we'd watch this. Now, I'm calling this carnage. Sometimes I wonder if creature crafts call this good. Like, if this is just like, they might, like a creature craft might look at this and say, oh no, this is just creature crafting. So I'm labeling this carnage. And so creature crafters, if you think this is good, let us know, because maybe we're learning like what is good and bad at creature crafting. I don't want to speak for creature crafters, although I have creature crafted once before. But if you can see this, Aaron, there are two people behind the rower. And so when they go over, one of the people gets basically waterboarded. I'm not sure if that's not the same as waterboarding, but they basically get shoved underwater. So it's just an interesting setup. I'm not sure I would want two people behind me. I feel like that's not fun to be basically forced underwater. Ooh, do you know where this is, Aaron? Where's that rock? Is that? No. Do you have any guesses where that is? We must know where this is based on that rock. Huh. Having a seatbelt freaks me out. I gotta tell you, I didn't like it either. It's like when I did it, I didn't like it at first. It freaked me out a little bit. And then I got beat down in a hole and I was really glad I had it on. And it's actually, for the defense of creature crafters, not that big of a deal because it's Velcro and Velcro. Like the Velcro lap. it comes off. Like if you want it off, it comes off. So you want, when you're doing this, you want to be strapped in. I think you would want the seatbelt. I thought the same thing before I did it. And after I did it, I liked the seatbelt. So Aaron, do you notice one thing about the pins and clip setup? See if you can. There's one detail about it I think you might find interesting if you look at it close enough. Okay, this is that big rock just below Klondike? Yeah, that's the big rock below. That's the big rock wall on the right below Klondike. And this looks like one that we call, like, I think we call this one wall banger, where all the water shoves up against that left wall. Hello. Oh, look at that beatdown. Oh, double beatdown. So, again, like, if you're a creature crafter, you know the answer to this. Is this good or bad? I don't know. This might be good. This might be like they're surfing and it's cool. But let us know. To me, this looks bad, but this might actually be good. And the person in this side, the person with the GoPro is now getting waterboarded because they're on the side that fell over. But he's doing a pretty good job of keeping his head up. So to get that off its side, he has to unbuckle. So when I did it, well, so it was just me when I did it. And I just was able to get up and lean and push it over. But I think because he has people behind him, there's so much weight when it goes over. I think my guess is the person rowing this normally can just, like, with the seatbelt on, get up and wait and have to turn over. But because that person's so low in the water, to overcome that extra mass, he actually has to take the seatbelt off, which, as long as the river's not too hard, it's not a big deal. Oh, there's somebody's head underwater again. I guess this doesn't look that bad. Yeah, they have cool little seats. Oh, that doesn't look fun. There it is, popping back up. So we'll watch this. I think the green wall, which I'm guessing is coming up. Or was that green wall? Do you notice the thing, Aaron? Do you notice the thing about the pins and clips yet? This seems like good evidence to not artificially trap. Yeah, I don't think after watching this, I would sit on a – yeah, I'd want to be rowing by – I think I would choose to row by myself. I don't think I'd want to bring friends, unfortunately. So the problem with the pins and clips is like the oars are on different sides of the pin. His left hand is correct. It's if he pulls the oar back, the oars are the inside. His right side is incorrect. I think, is this green wall? Oh, yes. That looks fun. Ooh, that doesn't though. This looks very active. I think we're past green wall. Aaron, do you think that's that steep canyon? Oh, no, that's the bottom of green wall. Think it'd be really cool if there was captions that said where everybody was. Oh, there they go again. This is a good view of the person who's getting waterboarded. That looks unpleasant. Aaron, are you okay with him, his T grip there? Oh, I wish we had the footage of the guy getting sort of the water would be interesting. Oh, and imagine if there was a rock down there. That would be, oh. So he's trying to get up there and push it over. He's still in his seatbelt. See, his legs are still in the seatbelt. And he's trying to get what he needs along with the person on the other side. He needs to breathe some ideal, the best option to let go of the T-grip. I wonder if they should, you know, a good idea Hey, would you put a snorkel on, Aaron, where there's like a snorkel attached to your helmet? And then if you go over the side, you can just like put the snorkel on? Yeah, this doesn't look fun in the back. I wonder if they knew that was going to be a problem when they started. Like, I wonder if they thought about it. If there was like a safety talk where they're like, "Hey, just so you know, those of you sitting on the sides, you might be getting a. We need a name for it. I think waterboarding is a bad name. You might get washing machined. Maytag is a good word for it. You might get Maytagged. Or if they like halfway down, like, oh man, we didn't really think about that when we came up with this configuration. See how he has to get off the out of his seatbelt and high. And you would not want to fall in. Oh, they're on the side again. Yeah, so on the right or is on backwards. Look at that. Imagine, I bet every time you go into a hole, you're thinking, oh, I really hope I'm not the one that gets Maytagged. That would be a kind of a terrifying feeling. Anyway, that's some Creature Crafted again, I think it's Carnage, but I think Creature Crafters might say this is good for them. I'm really not sure yet. So to finish up, Aaron, this... I want to change my best practices answer. That's funny. Looks awesome. I'll be walking the rest of the way. There is a trail kind of on the Illinois, but not once you're in the gorge. Once you pass Pine Flat, there's no trail. Basically, there's no trail next to the hardest part. So once you get to the trail after this part, it's all easy all the way. So it's hard to go out. Okay, so Aaron, to finish up today's episode, the episode that I'm carrying, which Aaron, I carry most episodes, but I'm really having to carry this one. I thought I would bring us back to the questionnaire. And we'll finish this up. And I really was hoping more people would maybe get the trivia question. I think we have a three-way tie for they kind of got it, but maybe we'll finish up with the trivia question. But we talked about with the best practices questionnaire, talking about like three or four a week instead of going through all of them at once. So I thought we'd make an effort to go through three or four of these a week. It's really awesome that we have 301 responses. The data is so amazing. So thank you everybody who filled out the best practices questionnaire. And if you want to fill it out, you just go to Whitewater Guidebook and under the Gear Garage, there's a tab that says best practices questionnaire. If you do it on your phone, turn your phone. I've heard you just turn your phone sideways or you won't find the submit button. Or just do it on a desktop computer. Becky, we'll get the trivia question at the end. We're in maybe like five-ish minutes. So this is interesting. I actually gave more options. And so this is version 2, but it's actually version 2.4. Because as I was getting more and more responses, I changed some of the answers a little bit to get more interesting data. And one thing I found early on, Aaron, it's interesting. How many Creature Crafters? It looks like none. One thing that's interesting is two people wrote in Outfitter. You can see right there is Outfitter and then owner of a whitewater company. So I added and there's Outfitter right there. Oh, I added that. So I added the option Outfitter and one owner of a whitewater company. I also added a rescue instructor because it's surprising how many people who aren't boaters, but rescue instructors have filled it out. But there's three owners and two others that aren't captured by that. So five owners filled this out, which is really interesting to me. And the director of operations of Nantahala Outdoor Center, my friend Foy. I think it's my friend Foy filled it out. So pretty cool. Pack rafters, but the people who filled out are mainly primarily a private rafter, some people who are primarily a guide, some kayakers. And then I added this new category who people who used to be a guide and now are private boaters, which is, almost as big. It's close to the side of straight private voters. It's amazing how many people who are identify as private voters now, a lot of them were guides. Anyway, interesting to me. And people focus. It used to be multi-day or single day, and I had the option of I do both equally. And so a lot of people do both equally. And some people who fill out just do rescue. They don't, again, they're just rescue people, right? And then this is interesting. I met the skill. People consider themselves generally class four voters, that they have that ability to vote at class four. My question, would it be an interesting nuance to this questionnaire? The follow-up question is, I can get back in my boat after a flip and to see if that matches up with this. Like, can those 165 people get back into their boat after they flip and take a little swim? I would hope that these five plus, well, there's a lot of five plusers. Those five plusers can for sure. And I would hope the class fivers that definitely you can flip and you can self rescue back in your boat. But I wonder if this group can. But of what people most commonly do is class three. So by far, most people are boating class three, which this in on its own is interesting data. You know, we always wonder, you know, who's the audience of boaters? What are they boating? And sometimes we think they're all class five boaters getting after it, but most people are doing class three day to day. That's who the general, like, at least the 300 people that filled this out, what they do. But a lot of class four, not that much five, and well, that's class two. You know, 3% do class five regularly, which is awesome. Which I have a theory, Aaron, that number is going down. That there's fewer people doing class five rafting now than there used to be. That it's just I'm seeing it. Like, people aren't here coming to Hood River to raft the Green Trust as much as they used to. And I don't think people are rafting Cherry Creek, like, privately, at least, not commercially, but privately, as much as they used to. According to Steve's mental income formula, those fours are twos if they're male. Yeah. I mean, this is just people are self. My point about this one is people call themselves class four voters. I would probably classify most of those people with having, if they were to ask me their skill level, if I met them and I had to answer that, I would say the number is more like 16% based on what I consider a class four voter. And the thing that would keep them out of that, well, the biggest thing is, can you get back in your boat after a flip? Like, they wouldn't pass that test. They probably have the ability to run a class four rapid, but not the whole package as to what it means to be a class four boater. And then we'll do this one last and we'll pick this up next week. What is your optimal river size trip going for a multi-day trip? 7 or 12 people. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Not. I expected more solos. Only one person answered solo. 13 to 20. Yep. 2 to 6. Super interesting. I think more people would be interacting if there's more ability to progress by having more. Are you being facetious, Aaron? So you think that if there were more classes, so hold on, let me debate this with you. There used to be almost no classes and more people did class five. There's more classes now than there used to be and fewer people are doing class five. You gave me a look like I'm an idiot. Like, do you think if there was more classes to bridge people from class three to four? Our classes, Aaron, we teach tons of classes. Or are you saying that there should be more like Tahoe Community College classes led by Aaron Cavagnolo? So you're saying the problem is there aren't enough Lake Tahoe. I think the problem with the Lake Tahoe Community Colleges, Aaron, is people don't know how to find it on the internet. Like, your class needs to have, I'm going to actually build a page for it. And, oh, no classes. Class, what do you mean? There's more class one, class 1A. So you're saying if there was, the problem is it's not. Wait, do we mean more educational classes? Or it should be like, we should use the Grand Canyon scale and go 1 to 10. there would be more classified boaters if there were more classifications. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to me. So all it would take would be like, now the classification scale went from 1 to 10. Yes, there'd be more classified boaters because class 5 would be class 3. I can see that, but if you're saying there should be, there's class 1 minus, class 1, class 1 plus, class 2 minus, class 2, class 2 plus. There are a lot of classes. Aaron, this makes no sense to me. Can somebody else explain this to me? Because spread out class 3 and 4, what are you even talking about?
Okay, so then right now it's like I'm a class 3 builder and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's such a big step up to class 4. You need to have intermediate steps more so and make it more attainable, the steps in between, so that people can feel like they're still progressing.
So they would, but who is telling them that they're class 3B, 3C? Like,
well, it's how do they, like, how we have the rivers.
Oh, so if I said, hey, the wind is a 4B, let's move you up to a 4C. And then we'd say, oh,
good. Or the rogue is a class 3 such and such. Hey, you've done that. Now do the South Fork American, which is class 3B. And then, oh, go do the Merced class 3C. Get me on which.
So you're saying there'd be more classified voters if we better explained the progression.
I think there'd be more class 4 voters. I don't think there'd be more class 4 voters.
If we had a better progression. Here's the problem, because people always ask me, what's the progression? And I actually wrote a blog post. I'll try to find it. Let's see. Whitewater. It's on Whitewater Guidebook. The Rowers Progression. This is, again, Heidi asked about how to find things. Google's a great way to do it. And some of our blog posts are buried. This is from 2016. But people ask me, like, hey, what's the progression? How do I get better? How do I move up? What rivers do I do? And one of the issues is Mother Nature didn't just make for us this perfect progression of rivers. This doesn't exist. So if you live in Oregon, let's say you live in Portland, and you're like, I've done the Upper Clackamas. What's next? What's next is you go to California and do some Merced, some South Forks, maybe some Tuolumne's. It's not the wind. There's a big gap from the Clackamas to the wind. Or maybe you jump on the Malala, but the Malala only runs part of the season. So like Mother Nature didn't make everybody the perfect progression of rivers right by where they live. That's a problem. And so anyway, on that topic, to help with this a little bit, I made this blog post that said, here's what I think is a progression from easier to more difficult. And now my order, people have debated this order. They said, no, this run is there, that run is there, cool, whatever. My progression could be wrong. But for me, if you live in Oregon, this is the progression I would do. And you can notice the Upper Clackamas is right here, right? The wind is really far away. Like there's a bunch of stuff in between. And I have the wind harder than Illinois, which is debatable. The wind is the hardest. And I try to keep this to like Oregon, Washington, but we could have added in a bunch of stuff in California. North Fork Payette would definitely be harder than wind, right? We could write one of these for California really easy, right? It would be really interesting. And we could mesh them together. But, you know, when somebody has just finished the Clackamas down here, the Upper Clackamas, they're not going to drive to the South Fork, or they're not going to go to the Merced in May when it's running. That's the problem. Unless maybe some people are, you know. Aaron, I think you and I were lucky to start boating in California where there's just so much diversity. And there's actually a pretty good progression in California to move your way up. But that doesn't exist everywhere. And so it requires quite a bit of travel, or just, you know, go to the Upper Clackamas and get a bazillion reps and like catch every single eddy, boop every single rock, just milk the Upper Clackamas. And once you have just like bomber skills and you're not afraid to swim, then maybe make a bigger jump to something But in the West Fork of the Hood, for example, that logistics are just so brutal that most people won't even think about it. I get out with former class five people who straight out say they'd rather just enjoy being class three than dealing with everything that goes with class five. Yeah. I mean, I'm that way. Like, I think as you get older, I think what happens in boating is you know, when you're younger, you just want to push. And everybody's like, oh, you did Cherry Creek. Cool. Go do the Upper Kings. Oh, you did the Upper Kings. Cool. Go do the Middle Feather. Oh, you did the Middle Feather. Cool. Like, everybody's trying to push you all the time. And you're very motivated to push, and you haven't been really scared yet. You haven't seen something really bad happen. So you think that's not going to happen to you. And then it happens to you or your friends a few times, and you get into your 30s where you start feeling some mortality. You're like, oh man, I can't touch my toes anymore. And then all of a sudden class three is really fun. You're like, I actually really have fun in class three. And if you're pushing it hard on class five a lot, you're scared a lot. Like, at least I am. Like, I was like, I mean, before some days, I'm like, oh man, I'm scared. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, God, I'm so glad we lived through that. It wasn't always fun for me, but it was an accomplishment. You know, I really wanted to do certain runs. It was a huge, like, at the end of the day, I wasn't going boating sometimes because I enjoyed the boating. I was going because I wanted to, like, get a notch in my belt or meet a goal. You looking at me funny, Aaron? This is just my feeling. Like, I would go run really hard stuff because people talk about it. I'm like, oh, I got to see this run. I want to be in this club of people who have done this run. And in the morning, I'd be super nervous. And halfway through the day, I'm like, oh, man, we're halfway through. Let's just get through this and stay alive. And then you'd be elated. It's a great feeling. And you go home and be like, guess what? I ran this, suckers. And that was before social media, when you guys should be like, hey, I just was a badass today. Back then, you would just come home and have a beer with your friends and be like, you know, we're pretty awesome today. Anyway, that's a whole other side. Let's get to the comments. In California, between South Fork and North Fork, a lot. Edward DePurden on South Yuba. Yeah. Merced at higher water. Lower consumeness, which not many people have done. Lower Kern, some parts of the Upper Kern, Butler on Cal Salmon probably is easier than North Fork, the Butler run, North Fork Smith, a lot of stuff on the Smith, Pillsbury on the Eel, Middle Fork American, some parts of North Fork Yuba, not all the North Fork Yuba, but parts of the North Fork Yuba. What am I missing, Aaron? Anything on the Kuya? The Kuya is probably the same as North Fork American. Tuolumne? I would say Tuolumne at medium levels is just a tidge below North Fork American. I think North Fork American is tough. Can be tough. Oh, we got comments. Okay. If your main run has six class three rapids and two class four rapids, if your main run has six class three rapids and two class four rapids, you would have to say you raft class three more often, correct? I don't know. That's a good question. If that's all, yeah, I don't know. I would, if you're styling those class four rapids and the class three rapids, I would say class three, class four. If you're like styling the class threes, but like the class four, you keep making mistakes and you're not perfect, I'd say class three. Depends how well you do. Thomas, he wants more grub. Hey, Thomas, really quick. Well, I have you. Sorry, everybody. Hey, can we take a break from this and go to Zach's Gear Corner, sponsored by riverhardware.com? We have a new tagline. The tagline is, if you want customer service, call NRS. If you want good customer service, call NRS, because we don't do customer service at riverhardware.com. Okay, Thomas, I got these from you and they don't have a hole there, but they cut like right here, but they come with a bolt. When people buy these, do they have to drill their own hole through this? So they like, are they supposed to get the tubing from NRS and then drill the hole? And if so, do you have any recommendations on like drill bit type, drill bit size, that kind of thing? Because they do have, actually, I have one here that I got from you. Maybe I don't. Anyway, how do I get a hole in this? Do I make it up? Do I use lasers? Lasers would be cool to drill through the tubing. Or I guess it doesn't go through here. It goes through the side. So, oh, here it is right here. It came like this. Has this bolt here, which I'm assuming is to go through here. Help us out. And everybody, thank you for watching Zach's QB Gear Corner, sponsored by NRS. Sponsored by River Hardware, where if you want good customer service, call NRS. Okay. Everybody's like, hey, Zach, we all get it. You still don't get it. Yep, got to that. Oh, we got to all this. That's what my buddies and I will do on Snake or Moab, run to catch eddies and practice. Yep, exactly. It's interesting how many times 3+ or 4- is used to describe some river. It's almost as if we have already subdivided the rivers already. No reason that doesn't transfer to a better skill level. Yeah, we've already done 3+, 4-, and it's all subjective. Like, again, we're arguing over bedrock. And so who calls 3+ or 4-? Like, I'll write a river description for Whitewater Guidebook. Like, let's just look at the Malala one really quick. How do I switch? Oh, yeah. I wrote this description, right? Well, some of these, Papa Bear, I call it class 3. Maybe it says that in a book and I copied it, but I might have just been like, that's class 3+. And Mama Bear, class 4, like, that's my subjective answer. If Aaron had run the Malala, he would have all made these a level lower. Like, he would have called Goldilocks 3 for sure. I mean, 4 is a little bit of a stretch, actually. But there can be wood in there, so I figured, this is called a 4. So it is subjective a little bit. Anyway, almost as if it has been subdivided. Salt Lake City doesn't have a lot of local runs to rafts. Kayaks are decent, but too small for rivers, creeks. Yeah, I mean, Salt Lake City is a tough place to be a boater. It's a great place to be a skier. Right, I would say Bedrock's 4-. I maybe should have used 4- on that description. Yep. Jay, dude, what's up? Hey, Jay, are you? Clackfest is back. Hey, by the way, I forgot to announce that the Upper Wind Whitewater Festival is coming up soon. And those of you that want to come be part of it. But let's finish this. Let's talk about the Upper Clackamas Festival really quick. While Jay's here, because Jay likes going to festivals. Bring it up on the website here. While we have Jay on here. The Upper Clackamas Festival was canceled because of COVID. It's back May 20th and 21st. I'm probably going to be there. Aaron might even be there. And I'm looking forward to renewing our competition, Jay. It's going to be fun. I think we have a score to settle in Carter Falls. Let's just leave it at that. But I hope to see people at the Upper Clackamas Whitewater Festival coming up in May. So Jay, to get to your comment, when asked, how do I progress? I tell people look for class 5 lines in your backyard, class 4 river. Yeah, 100%. I can make the wind class 5. Like, it's class 4. I have class 5 lines through the rapids that I use to practice as much as I can. This is why older, former hair boaters end up on cat boats and IKs. I mean, I think it's because you can't. I mean, when you boated in a hard shell, hard stuff, in your 20s, and then in your 40s, you can't touch your toes. It's really hard to be a hair boater, but you can sit on a cat boat and maneuver. So kayaking takes a lot of flexibility, hip strength, mobility. Like, it's, yeah. Yep. I like cat boating. I came more and more because I don't have the flexibility to sit in a kayak anymore. Okay, so we're getting back to Zach's Gear Corner. If they come with a hole, it's hard to line up. If you drill the hole through the tube and the mount at the same time, they definitely line up. Okay, that's what I thought. A 5/16 or 8 millimeter drill. Is there like a certain kind? Do you use like a like a carbide tip, or does it matter? Do you have any recommendations? Okay, cool. Thomas, it'd be nice to know, like, have like a paragraph, like, hey, here's how I suggest buy this type of tip, this diameter, do this, like some information would be super cool. I could guess, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah. Thomas is going to glue them on for his frames, which is pretty cool. No bolts. Enduro Slow Pros. Oh, really? I didn't know that. When I buy my frames from Enduro, oh, they're already in the. Oh, yeah. Duh. They're already in there. Okay. Good point. Okay. Here we go. Seems like class is varied by state a little bit too. You know, when we lived in California, we used to make fun of Oregon boaters. We'd be like, oh, that's or like if someone's class three, we'd say, oh, that's Oregon class four. So we would make fun of Oregon boaters a lot. Oregon boaters are pretty badass though, Aaron. I have to admit being here. There's some really good boaters. That's funny. Yeah, like if I go to West Virginia, if somebody calls the Upper Gully class five, I'm gonna be like, We can let's say 4+ and just call it good. But I think even people in West Virginia call it 4+ now. Revolver Outdoors sells low pros with their hole pre-drilled. Oh, cool. A dowel jig works well for centering the hole. David, thank you for being a member. Hey, Aaron, we love having members. Thank you guys for joining. I didn't tell you this. I crashed my drone last week. I sank $1,000 drone. And so those of you that are members can help fund, or you've already helped fund a new drone so we can get more footage for the channel. So thank you guys. It means a lot to us. It also makes us feel really special. Cool. Pretty much any drill will work. Yeah, it'd be sweet to have something. I'd put it on. I'm about to put it on our website. It'd love to be cool to have something. Ooh, Jay, that's sorry to hear that. I hope hopefully you come to Clackfest this year. You can cheer me on as I steal away your glory. It's gonna be fun. Is Tai still class four? No, Tai is not class four. But it was when I ran the first time I ran the Rogue, the map said Tai was class four. It's funny. That's Oregon. Tai's Oregon class four. No carbide or anything like that needed. Just standard high speed steel. Okay, sweet. Oh, no. That is not the third drone. It's like the seventh or eighth. The problem with drones and rivers is that you're in a canyon and you don't always get a good GPS signal. So they start wandering. And there's trees in canyons. But they also have like branches that the sensors can't always see. So you'll fly it into it. You don't always see the little branches too. So sometimes you fly it into it, and if you do that enough times, it starts getting the drone itself gets glitchy. And then I was flying a drone I had for a year and a half. It was glitchy already, and it was all over the place. It was sending up error messages everywhere. But I thought I still had it under control, and it just went into a bank and. I watched it roll down the bank into the river through the video. South Fork. Oh, man. Bad luck. Oh, but Aaron Babcock got the trivia. I think that's what he's referring to. Let's bring that back up. Let me see if I can find that. Aaron, did you? Let me see if I can find. Oh, there we are. Let's bring. Stop. Share screen. So going back to this is South Fork Judge, South Fork Judge number 5 into 6. Aaron, do you remember this photo? Are you still listening, Aaron? So for those of you that don't know, Aaron, there's a boat down there. That's Aaron in the boat. And these are all of our friends. And so Aaron, you were not guiding the boat though, which is shocking because I'm shocked you would go in a boat that you weren't guiding. Like you were never a person to paddle for other people. You were like, I'll go if I'm guiding. I was shocked that you were not the guide. Oh, that's right. Wait, you guided.
Hang on. Whoa. I was very willing to paddle for people. Very
okay. Willing. Have you ever paddled for me?
I don't know. Have I?
You have not.
Yeah, you paddled for me though, huh?
A lot. I remember when we went to remember when we did the Dos Rios to Outer Point at 50,000? And
you kayaked.
No. I wanted to row the raft. And you were I brought the raft, and you were like, I have to row the raft. I don't want to kayak. And I'm like, no, I want to.
I didn't
raft.
Say that. I said you're the class 5 kayaker. The river's like 50,000. You should be in the kayak. They were a lot safer.
Yeah, and I said, no, you should kayak. And I want to be in the raft. And we got in a fight about it. And I just was like, never mind. I'll just sit in the stupid kayak. And you got to take the raft. That's classic Aaron Cavagnola move. Anyway, you weren't. Did you guide? Going back to the story. Did you guide the first run? I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then somebody else. I know who guided the second one.
Me too.
Yeah, the first run was solid, right? With you guiding. And our second run, I'm not going to say who the guide was, but I know who it was there in the lower right-hand corner of the photo right there. It's funny they're so far the raft. And then you guys flipped, and I have a photo of the almost flip too. I just didn't show it.
Yeah, up on the rock. And yeah, I got that photo.
Up on the rock. And Aaron, you – this is bad. This is a film photo, by the way. This was a slide photo, actually. I had transferred to digital. And Aaron, that's you in the boat, which – I love it because you do not leave boats. Like, you were probably literally dipping outside, like seeing the bottom of the thing like this. That's probably why you stayed in the boat.
I high sided. That's why I stayed. I was in the front. So it was easier. I was up on the front, on the part on the rock. Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, I found this photo and thought it'd be a fun trivia question, especially because Boatsmith happened. I thought it was very relevant. All right, my first trick guiding made fun of Davis guides. Oh, burn, Aaron.
Well, burn on what you. About you, Zach?
Yeah, I was all,
you know, Zach.
Hey, Aaron, you know I was not actually a UC Davis guide. They let me guide 2 day trips. That's about it. I was actually so bad.
You even helped with, wait, Zach, you helped with advanced guide schools.
I helped with one of them. And you I wasn't asked back, but I was so bad that UC Davis didn't even let me guide except for 2 trips.
No, that's not true.
It's pretty true. We don't need to go into it, but man, that's a burn, Sean. Good burn. I like that one. All I had to do is tease you to get you talking. Sorry to make you talk, Aaron. Anyway, Aaron, you won the trivia question. Go to Whitewater Guidebook, fill out the form, send us your address, and you can choose from this Moravia dry bag that looks used, but it's brand new, the Rivers of California, or Rivers of Oregon by Tim Palmer. Those are the options. Aaron, did you just make me big? I don't like being big. Those are the options. Man, Aaron, I would say this was our best show ever. I think we really nailed it this week. I didn't even get to finish my Liquid Death. So before we close this one up, I want to share one more thing with everybody. Let's see, I'm gonna remove that. Okay. Let's go back to. I do want to remind everybody about the Upper Clackamas Whitewater Festival. It's a longstanding event. It's my personal favorite event of the year. It's a real gathering of the community of Oregon getting together. It's been around forever. There's every kind of race you can imagine. There's R2 race, paddleboat race, IK race, cat race, catboat rodeo, where Jay and I have a little competition going. Stand-up paddleboard, hard shell kayak, inner tube race. There's just all races the whole time. You can race, you can have fun, you can demo boats, like all the manufacturers come, you can try them out. You can just sit and camp, which camping might be an issue this year because all the camps burnt down because there was a fire a couple years ago. But regardless, you'll camp somewhere, get a hotel, and it's really just a gathering of the community. My favorite event. I hope everybody can make this. And it's class 3, easy class 4, and it's something pretty much anybody can take part in. And the other one is the Upper Wind River Festival. It's coming up in like 3 weeks. And the only information about it is on Facebook. And so there's no website anymore. It's March 18th. It's a one-day thing. This is for those of you that want to, that are good boaters. Like, it's not, if you're a class three boater, this one probably isn't for you unless somebody is going to guide you down. It's a harder river. It's a challenging head-to-head race. There's R2 race, R4 race. I R2 race with Dougie last year, and we got destroyed. So that was sad, really sad. But at the put-in, Jesse from Class 5 Rafting Frames or Class 5 River Gear, he said he could beat me at the Capo race. And if I had known Jesse thought he could have beat me, I would have beat him. So anyway, Jesse, I'm calling you out. Come this year, I'm going to do the Capo race again. I pretty much dominated it the years I've come. So this is a chance for you to do it. I'm excited for the Capo race. And I hope anybody who loves capoting wants and has the skills wants to come out and take part in the race. It's a really fun race, really cool event. It's a smaller event. And it's mostly about boating. There's not a whole lot. There's probably gonna be some sort of party, but this is less of a party and more of actually going boating. So yeah. Two steps. Thanks, Sean. I think what really brought this show together was Aaron not being allowed to talk. I wonder if we could just mute you more. I'll have to figure something out for the future. Really, really love this show. I want to bask in it. But Aaron, that's all I have to say. Do you want to shut this one down or do you want me to do your ending? Did you just point, I'm doing your ending? Okay. Let me see if I can channel my inner Aaron. Well, thanks everybody for watching our show. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And Zach's trying to get to 10,000 subscribers. So subscribe so he can feel cool about himself. Hey, Zach, are we having our Tuesday show next week? Oh, we are? Or no, we are. No, we're not. We're not. There's no Tuesday show next week. And that's about it. We'll see you next week.